Psalmist writes to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Am I on? All right. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and mourn noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. The psalm starts off just like most psalms. David talks about his enemies. He's sitting there, writes a song, plays it with an instrument, stringed instrument, and is just contemplating. He's thinking about really God listening to his prayers, God not hiding himself from him, God attending to him, God listening to him. He says, I am restless. He has a complaint. He says, I mourn noisily. He makes complaining noise. Why does he do all this? Because of the voice of my enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. It's one thing to know that you have enemies. It's another thing to actually hear what your enemies are saying about you. And David weighs what his enemies were saying to the level of they bring down trouble upon me. It's like they're throwing stones at David. And they hate me. It's not a good feeling when you know that somebody out there hates you. When you know that somebody out there is throwing stones at you. And he says, my heart is severely pained within me. He's hurting. It's not pleasant to have enemies around us. And especially a man like David, who was both a king and a soldier. You wouldn't love to have enemies as a leader. Neither would you love to have enemies as a soldier, but reality is, they're there. If you're a soldier, you know that you're going to be a soldier because they're enemies against you and against your kingdom or your territory. If you're a leader, you obviously know that there are people who won't like you, whether you're doing good or you're doing bad. Most times, you cannot please everyone. But that aside, it is hurtful when people, regardless of the situation, are raining down trouble on you. When they hate you. He says, the terrors of the death have fallen upon me. They did not just speak evil of David. They did not just hate him. They wanted his life. He says, fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Now, David is a courageous soldier. Remember, as a teenager, he fought a giant. And here in Psalm 55, isn't it strange that the man who stood against the chief warrior, the champion warrior of the Philistines, is now saying, you know what, I am in fear. He says he's trembling, he's shaking in his boots. He's horrified. Horror has overwhelmed me. And he said, I said, oh, that I had a dove, rather I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would rather be far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, think about that. He says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So his enemies, his haters, those who are after his life, he compares them to a storm. And he wishes, he is a bird, he is a dove, just flies away from the storm. In fact, A bird can easily ride a storm and it's blown away far from trouble. I mean, that gives us the depth of pain that David felt. When you start wishing like you're a bird, then you know that it's really terrible. There is somebody, I think it's Joni Erickson Tada. She was in an accident, a diving accident, a pool accident, and she broke her spinal cord, so she's paralyzed. She cannot walk. She sits all her life. And one time I was listening to her testimony, and where she lived at that time was kind of a bushy area that had birds, pretty much like living here slightly outside town. You find birds coming into the trees and even to your compound, they fly in and pick the rice and the grains that you throw around your house, around your compound. And she said in her wheelchair, confined there, she depends on people to take her everywhere she has to go. To the toilet, to the bedroom, to a flight, to the car, everywhere she has to be pushed. And at one time she said, I wished I was a bird. I could just fly away. Just fly away from all these troubles around me. For somebody to think of themselves that way, you know, it is really extreme. It is really painful. It is really severe. And this is no weak man. This is no coward. This is a soldier. This is a courageous man. And he says, I wish I was a bird. I could fly away. I'll just fly away and ride the winds and keep away from this storm and tempest. In verse 9 to 15, the psalmist asks God to do a few things. So think about his enemies, thinking about the wish that he had of becoming a bird and flying away. In Psalm 55, 9, it says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on hills, on its walls, iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So he talks about another figure altogether, makes a request to the Lord. At the beginning, he's just praying. He wants strength. He wants safety. He wants security. He wishes he's a bird. He wishes he had wings that would fly away. But from verses 9 to 15, he changes tone. He's not talking about an enemy, really. He said, I have enemies. That's fine. I know it. I know they hate me. I know they're planning my downfall. One more thing bothered him apart from the hatred that he had from his enemies. He said, I can put up with my enemies, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear that. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. In verse 12, I can handle that. More than his enemies, he said, my companion and my acquaintance, my friend. We talked together. We gave each other advice together. And we walked to the house of God. We went to church together, but his friend betrayed him. Now we know that David had a good friend since he went into Saul's palace. That friend was who? Remember him? Jonathan. A trusted friend. In fact, Jonathan loved David so much that he could do anything. He would have done anything for David's safety. In fact, when Saul attacked David and it was getting unsafe for David to remain in the palace, David and Jonathan talked. Now remember, Jonathan would have been the heir to the throne. All right? He could have sided with his father to kill David, so he would ascend to the throne. He didn't do that. Jonathan cared so much about David that at one point he told him, you know what, I am going to spy for you. Can you imagine spying your own dad? And Jonathan spied on Saul. And when Jonathan knew that it was dangerous for David, he communicated to David and told him, David, it's not safe for you. You run. But here in Psalm 55, he's obviously far from a trusted friend, a reliable friend. He's far from Jonathan. We do not know who exactly this is. In another place, there's a man called Ahithophel, who was an advisor in the palace, who also betrayed him. But not just Ahithophel, so many people betrayed David, by the way. When especially Absalom attacked him and dethroned him, David willingly left. And so many people forsook David and paid allegiance to Absalom. Much as we don't know who exactly he was talking about here, but he was talking about unfaithful friends. Somebody you talk to every day, somebody you come to church with every day, deciding to turn against you. It's bad enough, it's painful enough that he had enemies outside. He knew there were people attacking him. It was really painful, more than twice as painful, to know that even his closest friend, the person he fellowshipped with, the person he talked about kingdom matters with, the person he consulted, betrayed him. David has nowhere to hide now. If he is to hide, he has enemies outside. If he's to sleep in his own house, he has an enemy within. Very uncomfortable, very hurtful, very painful. And all David can do is pray for their death. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. Verse 16, Psalm 55. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out to the Lord. And he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from old, Selah, my old friend, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. The war was in the heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. As David writes about his unfaithful friend, as he writes about the traitor that he had, a friend who turned out to be a traitor, we need to be asking ourselves, are we trustworthy friends? Are you a good friend to the people around you? Are you honest? Or are you like Ahithophel and many others who, when David needed them the most, walked away and turned against him? In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38, David talks about his loyal men. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38, all these men of war, they're written down just before that verse, who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. There are two key words in that verse. Loyal heart. When you're making friends, the one thing you expect of them is loyalty, isn't it? You want them to be the people who hold in confidentiality the secrets that you share. There are people that you trust will respond to your rescue when you need help. There are people you can confide in. There are people you can give all your time and probably all your money to keep. And you're expecting it's going to be safe. But many times, we have traitors, don't we? Do you have some traitors in your history? People you really trusted, but they dropped you. They turned their back at you. They left you. They took your money. They took your car. They took something. It is painful. The opposite of traiting or betraying somebody is remaining loyal. And I pray and I hope that each one of us here remains loyal to the friendships you make. That you're faithful to them. That they can rely on you. That people can rely on us. That people can trust us. That people can give us even their own lives. Trust us with their lives. And they will be safe. It's called marriage. Right? If you're dating or if you're still single or if you're married, you know that this person can be the person who actually kills you, right? And you've had stories of husbands killing their wives and wives killing their husbands. And you gave your life to this person because you trust them. You share the same bed by the very ones who can turn their back and poison you and kill you or steal you. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants people who are going to betray them. Nobody wants people who are going to be traitors. Nobody wants unfaithful friends. Nobody wants friends who are not going to be loyal. Now, it's really availing yourself to be vulnerable. All right? When you start with a friendship, you do not know how far it will go. But you kind of just give yourself, you give your trust, you give your time, and hoping to get back the same. Hoping the other person is going to reciprocate. And let us be those people who reciprocate friendship. Real, true, loyal friendship. If we were in David's army, would have loved to be those mentioned there that we were loyal to the king. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Are you a friend who loves at all times, and a brother who is there for adversity, or are you a traitor? And maybe you've been betrayed, like David, and it's painful, it hurts. But are you yourself still availing yourself to be a good friend to somebody else? Because it can be somebody else's problem, all right? But are you yourself a good friend to them? A friend loves at all times. A friend is faithful at all times. A friend is honest at all times. A friend is trustworthy and should be trustable at all times. I want to be that friend, don't you? Who loves at all times, who has a loyal heart. And tell you what, no relationship can work unless there is loyalty and there is love at all times. Think about business. The people you do business with, don't you expect them to be loyal? You have a business partner. Maybe you are not actively in the business. Somebody else runs the business actively. Don't you expect the other person Shouldn't you expect them to be loyal? If we are that person, shouldn't we be loyal to our partnerships? We should. Marriage. This is where the most loyalty and love is required. Because two people give themselves to each other mutually and in everything. In money, in fellowship, in friendship, in partnership, in parenting, everything. And loyalty and love at all times is required. And the moment you remove your loyalty to your partner, to your partnerships, to your friendships, all you do is hurt them so bad. And I know some people who have been hurt by others, and to this day they have not recovered from the pain. I know somebody who literally lost her head because a boyfriend dumped her completely into mental rehab. And up to this day, still on medication. I think this is 5 years now. I think 7 years. I don't want to be somebody who hurts people and even causes them to run mad. Seriously? I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to my wife, to my children, to my friendships, to my partners. I don't want to be a traitor. I don't want to be one who betrays anyone for any reason. And most of the time, we betray our friends for gain, right? Somebody comes and tells you, you know what? Just leave him, then I can be your partner, then we'll make more money. We'll talk about this yesterday with my sister-in-law. And this was a situation where, and it happens a lot, by the way, somebody leaves a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, even engaged, even married relationship, for somebody who happens to be their partner's best friend, right? So, for example, I have a wife at home, one wife. Imagine me dating my wife's best friend. All right. Of course, that would be immoral on my part. But what is my wife's best friend doing to her friend? Betrayal. Right? Traitor. If I'm trying to ask somebody out who is my wife's best friend, that lady should tell my wife that, you know what, your husband is hitting on me, you know? Report. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, as David shifts tone here, he says, I will trust in the Lord. I will leave it to the Lord. I cannot manage this situation. There's nothing I can do. As he prayed there, remember in verse 22 we just read, he says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When David is betrayed, when David is in pain, when David is hurting, instead of losing his head, instead of thinking about the situation too hard that he runs bad, he said, you know what, I'll just cast this burden. I will just offload this burden on the Lord. The Lord is our best friend, isn't he? He's our good friend. He is our unconditional friend. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. There is one friend that we have that will never be a traitor, that will never let us down, that will never leave us nor forsake us. His name is Jesus Christ. He laid down his life and he calls us his friends. For his friends. That is a good friend. In fact, Jesus is a perfect example of a perfect friend. And he calls us to do the same. If you're going to enter a friendship, make sure you can actually lay down your life for your friend. That you can do your best to protect them, to be faithful to them, to be good to them. But like David, when people let us down, we have somewhere to run. We have somebody to carry those burdens. His name is Jesus Christ. We are not without a friend who we can trust. God himself. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 to 30, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we get betrayed, Jesus says, "Just give it to me. Don't lose your mind. It's okay. It's painful. Give me that pain. It's heavy. Give me that weight. It's hard to get over. Just give it to me. Give me those thoughts. Give me those losses." And he promises to give us rest for our troubled souls. It's troubling to be betrayed and to be let down, to be disappointed. But we have a place of safety, and David says, "Cast your burden on the Lord." He's really talking to himself, isn't he? He's like, okay, David, come on. You trust in the Lord. You give this to the Lord. There's no way you can handle this, or you can handle this by yourself. It's going to weigh you down. Maybe you are here and you're traitor, you're betrayed, you're disappointed, you're let down. And so many people will let us down, by the way, in real life. We have one friend that we can only trust, we can always trust. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's cast our burdens on Jesus Christ. And sometimes looks like we trust people more than we trust God. And often God removes those people from our lives. Regardless of the situation, we get back to God. He's trustworthy. In Psalm 56, to the chief musician, said to the silent dove in the distant lands, that's the tone of the song. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God. For man would swallow me up, fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, and there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God. I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape my iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples of God." He still talks about his enemies. They lie in wait. They oppress him. They speak evil of him. He insists on trusting in the Lord. That's where the solution is. And he prayed that God deals with them. We cannot deal with all our enemies. We cannot deal with all our traitors and all the people who walk away from us. We just have to commend them to the Lord. God, deal with them. "You number my wanderings," he says to the Lord. "Put my tears into your bottle." "And they do not, and they not, are they not in your book?" he asks. "When I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" David continuously demonstrates confidence and trust in the Lord by letting the Lord deal with his mind. Because when we have enemies around us, we have friends who let us down, a lot of things can be going around our heads. What we think about? Revenge. We think about evening up, right? I was told of a lady. They built this house together with her husband, but the husband left her. And you know what she did? She burned down the house. What's that? Revenge. I mean, will you win your husband back by burning down the house? No. You're going to go to the police. That's crime. It's going to make matters worse. There are those who abuse, batter, or even kill their partners because they've been unfaithful. Is that going to solve the problem? You're going to go to prison because you murdered. Now, it's bad enough that somebody was unfaithful to you. It's worse that you kill them. Doesn't solve the problem. For David's case, he had many opportunities of getting rid of Saul. He could have killed Saul. And some of his men were telling him, when he had the opportunity to just say the word king and we'll finish this enemy of yours. But David said, no, please don't. In anger, in frustration, in disappointment, we can revenge, we can act irrationally to try to make things even. But it does not help. Somebody lets you down, somebody disappoints you, somebody is continuously speaking evil of you, somebody wants your downfall, just give it to the Lord. God will deal with them. That's what David teaches us here. And he demonstrates this all through the Psalms. Trust in the Lord and trust in the Lord. And that should tell us one thing. Trust in the Lord. Give it to God. Don't take matters in your hands. It's God who will help. It's God who will deal with those enemies. It's God who will heal us of that pain. Almost the same theme in Psalm 57. To the chief musician sent to do not destroy a mishtam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Now this story is probably in 1 Samuel chapter 22. That is one of the records of David escaping to a cave. And it's a funny story because David, mighty warrior, hears that Israel is attacking the Philistines. Now that is King Saul, his enemy, attacking the Philistines. Now the Philistines knew that David is out of Saul's palace, so they actually want to hire David to fight against Saul. In this situation, David is almost going to be a traitor to his country. All right? So David goes over to the king of the Philistines, to Gath. When he was arriving, there were some people talking about him. And he overhears this conversation. And these people were saying, isn't that David to whom they were singing? Saul has killed thousands and David has killed tens of thousands. Isn't that the guy who beat our champion warrior? When David hears that, you know what he does? He pretends to be mad. And then the king told the people who had gone to hire David. In fact, David had Goliath's spear, by the way. Maybe that's how they were able to identify him. The king of Gath said, you have brought me a madman. Do I need a madman to fight for me? Get him out of here. So David, pretending to be mad, earned him a dismissal. He was fired. And he runs and hides in a cave. And in that cave, I think he first laughs, right? I mean, can you pretend to be mad? I mean, you can pretend that you haven't seen somebody, right? And if they are right in front of you, kind of just bypass them. I know some twins, identical twins, and when they're alone, they'll always deny that they're the ones because you cannot tell the difference. Those are easy things to do. You can pretend you haven't seen that person you never want to meet. But can you pretend to be mad? Really? Do you know how mad people look like and act like? Just because you want to be safe? Like, David did it. And I think he goes to this cave and is thinking, man, what was I doing? I should have just said, sorry, I don't belong here, let me go. He goes to the cave and he says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah, think about that. So apart from in my head thinking that David would have just first kind of laughed at himself. But above all, he has to be accountable to God. Right? What is David going to tell God about the situation? I'm sorry. Be merciful to me. God, I deserve to be punished. But please withdraw that punishment from me. That is mercy. God, I've done something completely silly and sinful. But please don't be angry at me. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I make my refuge. Lord, I really should have trusted you. I shouldn't have ended up in the camp of the Philistines. I should not have pretended to be mad. I'll cry to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would have swallowed me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above all the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah, think about that. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches to the heavens, and your truth into the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. That should be our response when we do very stupid things. And tell you what, there is no, I shouldn't say there is no, but there are people in the Bible that did really stupid things. I mean, think about Abraham. Think about David. Think about Solomon. Think about the other prophets. Think about the disciples of Jesus Christ. Think about the many people who believed in God, ending up doing, I mean, imagine Peter denying Jesus Christ. No, I do not know him. We have the potential to do extremely sinful things as humans. Sometimes we've even denied the Lord, haven't we? Like Peter. Sometimes we pretend we haven't seen that person that we never want to meet, and yet we're meeting them. Sometimes we pretend we are asleep, but we are awake. And you know the landlord is knocking. And the landlord knows you're inside. And you pretend you can't hear him. You make sure you go home when he's asleep and you wake up before he wakes up. Thankfully, there is mercy. Thankfully, God says, I will not punish, I will not give you what you deserve. I will withdraw my wrath upon you, and that's mercy. He rests upon God's mercy. And that's where we should always fall. Because we will find ourselves doing worse than David did. Worse than pretending to be mad. And thankfully, we can run to God for mercy. God, have mercy on me. I've pretended to be mad. I should have testified about you. I should have demonstrated my trust for you. I should have told them about salvation. I shouldn't have ended up in that place in the first place. What was I doing with those people? David almost traitored his nation. Treason. He says in verse 6 that he has so many enemies, they prepare a net for his steps and a pit for his feet so he can fall in, but his enemies themselves fall in those pits. Now David, to this point, has experienced salvation from the enemies that he had. So many times God protected and saved him from his enemies. And he should have known that, one, he should have ended up in Gath, and much as he did, he should not have pretended to be mad. Should have said, you know what, I don't belong here. I'm not even going to cause disrespect upon me. Now imagine the king, the king of the Philistines, and the Philistines who are there, right? David lives off, and all they know is David is mad, all right? David is going to ascend on the throne. Now imagine what the Philistines are thinking. Israel has a mad king. isn't that the guy who pretended to be mad? Now he's king? Who treated him? And sometimes we can cause so much damage on our own reputation. Because of what? Maybe he feared for his life. He most likely did act out of fear. Thinking, oh, these guys may revenge on me. Whatever the reason, we can cause so much disrespect upon ourselves. We can ruin our reputation because of fear, because of lack of trust, because of poor decisions we make. And yet we know better. David knows the Lord. He has tested and seen that the Lord is good. He has tested and seen that the Lord protects him. He has called the Lord his refuge and his strength and his help. He is exalting the Lord above all the earth and heavens. He is glorifying the Lord. Many times we've seen from someone, right? And then he ends up acting like a madman. And before we laugh, we are never immune, right? Let's be humble to know that we are not immune from such silly things. We should be thankful for God's mercy that even when we act sinfully, when we run to him, there is mercy. He forgives us and cleans us. Psalm 55 is really a prelude of Judas. Ultimately, it's a prophecy of Judas betraying Jesus Christ. We saw that on Sunday in John chapter 13. It's also a reference to that in Psalm 41, verse 9. My best friend, the one with whom I share bread, betrayed me. So this is practically happening in David's life, but this is really prophecy that is going to be fulfilled, the life of Jesus Christ. And I love how the Bible connects. I love how the Bible is true. And from verse 55, we should be challenged to be loyal friends. You have friends. We have friends. Let's be loyal. Let's be committed. Let's be faithful. Let's be honest to our friendships, our partnerships, our relationships. Like David, we have enemies. We can confidently pray that God deals with them and God will deal with them. There is somebody who said that if we prayed knowing that God is going to take care of what we are praying for, we should never stop praying. We should have trouble stopping to pray. Because David prays knowing God was going to help. And in fact, at the end of chapter 57, he talks like God has already helped him, but he knows for sure that help is coming. And sounds repetitive, right? We've seen trust in the Lord so many times. That's the only way out. We may not be able to deal with those enemies. We may not be able to silence those gossip, those bad words that are spoken of us falsely. Let's be silent and commend those people to the Lord. We can't put those fires off. In Psalm 57, first of all, we should not end up in Gath of the Philistines if we are David. But if we do, if we make foolish decisions, we run back to God's mercy. Run back to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Lord, please forgive me. I was unfaithful. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have said that. And thankfully, there is mercy. God forgives. God cleanses. God saves. God helps. We can cry out to the Lord Most High, and He will help. And like David says, let our hearts be steadfast. He says in verse 7 of Psalm 57, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. And he says, get up, David. Pick up the Lord. Pick up the harp and praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. Instead of embarrassing myself among people, instead of embarrassing you, Lord, among people, I will praise you among nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, your truth unto the clouds. And he says, God be exalted, be raised above all. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. David, at the end of his mistakes, and all through his mistakes, by the way, that was just one. He made so many mistakes, all through his mistakes. Even when initially denying and trying to cover it up, he still goes back, confesses, and commits himself to worship the Lord. Sometimes we fall into traps, and the one thing we want to do is hide from the Lord, just like Adam and Eve did. That is more dangerous because it leads us to more darkness. But we have to make the choice to come to the light of God and say, God, forgive me, I made a sinful decision. I want to commit myself to honor you, to exalt you, to glorify you above all things. No wonder the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He was a sinful man just like all of us. He made mistakes just like all of us. He committed sins just like all of us. One difference is he always ran to God. And may we always run to God, committing ourselves to honor him. Amen. Let's stand and pray and worship the last song. As we sing, as we close our service, if you need prayer, we are around. I normally stand at the back here. Paul is around. John is around. Maybe you feel betrayed. You need somebody to pray with for strength. Maybe you're a traitor yourself. You want to repent. You want to change. And commit yourself to be a good and better friend. We can stand together in prayer, gain some strength. Lord, thank you so much for the word that we received today. Thank you so much for just challenging us to be loyal to our friends, to our family, to our partners. to the relationships that we make, Lord. Father, above all, we want to be loyal to you. It's you who gives us those friendships and those relationships and those partnerships, oh God. And as we want to be faithful, Lord, we want to be faithful to you above all. You are our God. You are our Father. And often we first forsake you before we forsake our friends. Lord, we want to be loyal and faithful to you. We want to be loyal and faithful to one another. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy. Your mercy abounds. Lord, your mercy covers our sins, Lord. Your mercy forgives. Lord, there are so many around us who wish us evil, who wish for our downfall. Lord, there's little we can do about it apart from ask you to deal with them, oh God. Obviously, our chief enemy is Satan, out there to kill, steal, and destroy. There are those also under his influence. Lord, we pray that you may draw them to the truth. Lord, I pray that you may cause them to repent and bring them to your light. Bring them to your life, eternal life. Lord, when we fall, help us get back and fall back on your mercy and commit ourselves to walk in truth and to worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.